is James Gillen with the As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show. I've got a few announcements I've got to get through before we start the show. And I want to remind people about the upcoming events and my appearance. And they can all be found at the event website at www.privateinvitationeSETI.com. The Yelm talk was canceled due to this nasty storm. I guess they're getting about 3 inches of rain there on Saturday and Friday. And it's just going to be just pretty nasty out there. So they decided to cancel that one. But we've got remote transpersonal release sessions will be available through October and none in November and restart in December because I'll be traveling. I'll be in Mexico. But Wednesday, October 19th, Ashley has her teleconference healing series at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And again, registration for that is now open. Next weekend is the last Skywatch weekend of the season, where I'll be at the ranch also on Sunday, October 23rd. I'm part of the online experiencers webinar. And I'll be speaking at 12 noon. So you can check out that event as well on the registration link. The October 29th and November 2nd is the last big workshop. And I'll be presenting this year with the return of the Self-Mastery and Making Contact workshop at ESETI. And I'll be co-presenting this workshop with Tashina, who's a beautiful woman. She lives up on the Hopi Reservation. And we'll be working with the Galactic Medicine Wheel and the Arcturians and Andromedans and the Orion Council of Light and Pleiadians. All the whole enchilada is going to be coming in, the Sirians and the Lion Beings. But it's going to be quite an event. And also be back in November. November 4th through the 6th at the Awaken and Power Expo. So anyway, if you want to check out any of these events, go to privateinvitation.com. And that's www.privateinvitationeseti.com. And if you have any questions, you can go to eseti2016@gmail.com. Great. So now that those are out of the way, I've got a great guest. He's a great friend and longtime supporter of ESETI, and I've been supporting his work as well, Winston Strout. And there is so much going on. Winston's been a regular on the show. I know he has the Solutions and Commerce workshop, and he's got one coming up here in Mexico in Sayulita, which is going to be really interesting, you know, covering what is a U.S. citizen, money of account versus money of exchange, public versus private. The victor writes history, administrative procedures, your body is real estate, lawful versus legal. And so he's going to be covering all of these topics in his seminar there and that's November 18th through the 20th. And so anyway, be sure and check that one out. There's a lot going on. If you want to register for that one, I think it's www.wssic.com. And so you can stretch out your summer a little longer in Mexico. Beautiful place down there. Sayulita is where I go to chill out and get my dental work done every year. So without further ado, I want to bring Winston on the show because we've got so many things breaking. We've got some major breaking news right now. So, Winston, are you with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. How's the sound? Okay?
Sounds great.
Good. Great. Yeah, actually, on that Mexico thing, I'm going down to the clinic down there for treatment. As it turns out, they do stem cells and ozone treatments. And so I'm going down to see if I can get a few things fixed, hopefully. And then long as I'm there, there's a lot of people there who are what we call expats or expatriates or people who are simply living in Mexico for various reasons. So long as I'm there, might just, you know, getting treatments, might as well get a few folks in and give them a little bit of hope that things are not as bad as they used to be in the United States. And they might want to take a different view of what's going on here. So anyway, I'll be down there breathing ozone, all those things. And so I should be pretty well pepped up.
Yeah. The Mariposa Spa, they're great there.
Yeah.
I've had some things done down there that, you know, definitely helped me out.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about I mean, I'm trying to think of where to start. I mean, there was a papal decree, I guess. It was done a while ago, I guess, which maybe you could explain that, which pretty much, you know, restores our rights and kind of takes the rights away from the corporation. So now we can go after these corporations that have just been trashing the planet and the people. And there's more to that, but I'd love to get your take on that.
Well, yeah, I saw that article. I looked into it. As a matter of fact, I might have done something in the distant past that perhaps was a stimulus to get that done. And I don't think I want to go into that in particular. If you look at history, especially during the World War II era, the church, and I'm speaking now of the Roman Catholic Church, most people are not aware, but there are seven Catholic churches, and in particular, the one that we're dealing with here and having reference to is the Roman Catholic Church, or what people basically refer to as Vatican, because over the years of the seven Catholic Church, they have pretty much predominated the world's attention for various reasons. But in any event, the church has always tried to oppose atheism, and certainly during World War II, the communist country of what we call Russia today, or the USSR, or however it was referred to, was predominantly communist atheistic. And so naturally, the church would be in opposition to the spread of communism because of their atheistic point of view. Now, so that kind of sets a stage for what happened after World War II. And in essence, what had happened was that some of the Catholic officials, I don't know the names or their official positions, but they had established what was known as a rat line to evacuate many of the Nazis who were fleeing from Germany, having, you know, Germany, the country, having been overrun by the Allies and by Russia. So, in an effort to evacuate some of those, and many of the Nazis escaped various ways, this is just one of the ways that they utilized. And so that association and that effort, you know, you can look at it, you know, any way you want to look at it. And I'm not saying good or bad. I'm simply saying that's what happened. And so I'm not, you know, I'm not here waving flags or pointing fingers or doing anything like that. I'm just here as an observer saying this is what we saw happen. And then as a result of that support of the fascist Nazis, there seemed to be within the Roman hierarchy or the church hierarchy a tendency to support fascism. Now, for those that don't know what fascism is, in essence, what it means is that the functional government of a country has been turned over to corporations. Now, is that good or is that bad? It could be good, but most generally, it's very, very bad. For instance, if you look in our own country, if you look at the House of Representatives, on either side of the podium, unless they've taken it down the last while, you have the fasci, which is a bundle of sticks with an axe head in it, which is the symbol of fascism. All right. So, you know, we can hardly point the finger when our very House of Representatives is meeting and making decisions under the symbol of fascism. So, you know, before we start pointing fingers anywhere, we need to point the finger right back at ourselves. In any event, over that period of time since World War II, with the influence of the Nazis and what Jim Mars calls the rise of the Fourth Reich, and I suggest, you know, those who would be interested would get his book and read it, because he lays it out very carefully. In any event, we've had a huge influence over the time of the concepts of fascism, to the point that the functional government in the United States and in many countries across the planet have fallen under the influence of fascism. Now, it's very interesting. You know, like I say, I've been very, very interested to watch Pope Francis. you know, he's kind of an interesting character in as much as he's the first, what we would call, white pope, who is, in fact, a Jesuit. Now, you know, you can toss the coin on the Jesuits, you know, heads or tails, whether you like them or you don't like them. And, you know, some of them have been pretty good, some of them have been pretty bad, at least as to the effect they've had. But in any event, the present Pope of the Roman Catholic Church is, in fact, a Jesuit. And so you can read their histories and see those things. Now, that in itself is very interesting. I mean, how the politics of that worked out. But in any event, I've been very interested to watch his career. And it actually... the thing that really caught my eye was about a year ago when he came and to the United States, spoke to Congress, you know, made the rounds and whatnot. But what a lot of people do not know was he disincorporated Washington, D.C. Now, that was very significant. You know, for those who are students of these things, you understand that there have been on this planet what's known as three city states. That would be Washington, D.C., the Vatican, and City of London. Now, these three city states have had a great deal of influence and a great deal of control onto the planet up till the present time. But in any event, when he came to the United States, he disincorporated Washington, D.C. And really, the only reason I found out that it happened was it was in the newspaper that the 10 square miles that had formerly been under the jurisdiction as Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, that 10 square miles was being challenged or fought over by the state of Virginia and Maryland. Virginia was trying to claim the whole thing, and Maryland was saying, no, no, no. Part of that 10 square miles is actually within the border of Maryland. And so anyway, that's basically what, you know, what came up, which caught my attention. And then certainly when Pope Francis left the United States, went back to Italy, a lot of people don't know this perhaps, but Pope Francis does not live inside of the Vatican. He goes there to do his business, but he lives in town. He lives in a small apartment, and apparently cooks his own meals and all these kind of things. So he's very humble in his circumstances. Now, when he went back to Rome after having visited the United States and disincorporated Washington, D.C., information on the internet was that he went to work cleaning up the Vatican Bank, because the Vatican Bank, some of the chief operators, and they were cardinals, had been found to be laundering illegal drug money. So he went and put an end to that. So now he's really got my attention. So anyway, I've been kind of just watching the various things that would come out on the news about the things he was doing, things he had done. So now this latest thing he's done, in essence, he has disincorporated all the corporations on the planet, or at least that's the way it seems, because you know, it's not like flipping a light switch. In other words, you don't sign a document and all of a sudden everything changes. No, no, no. It does not happen that way. And so in any event, we cannot accurately predict yet the consequence that will come from what his action. But at least now we have a foothold against the fascist regimes. So that's kind of how I see that, James.
Great. Yeah, so basically, if we knew how to deal with that, I guess, and stand in our own power and call that out, I wonder how that would work out. If you just say, hey, your corporation is no longer existent. It's been disincorporated. So why do you think you have any jurisdiction here at all? I guess that might be, with a lot of problems that are out today, that might be a solution.
Yeah, if the occasion arose where you had to defend a particular position against a corporation, then those kind of arguments can be made. But let's take this a little bit further. Certainly your audience over the time has heard reference to the New Republic.
Yes.
So let's kind of get into that, because it plays well into the disincorporation of many of the agencies. A lot of people don't know this. Well, for instance, let's take what we call the justice system, which is really the just us system.
The power system.
Yeah. For instance, you know, I first came upon this concept some number of years ago, and so I started doing research on the local state court in the area where I lived at. And so it was suggested that these courts were actually corporations. And so I went on to Dun and Bradstreet. Now, Dun and Bradstreet basically could be considered the credit reporting agency for the corporations, much like we have these other credit reporting companies, for individuals. All right, so I went on to Dun and Bradstreet, and I tried to look up this particular court because I suspected that it was a corporation. I did not find it. But what I did find, I found a corporation which was known as the Justice Courts of the State of Utah. And they were shown to be doing business everywhere at the address where all the state courts were located. Now, that pretty much told me what I needed to know from Dun & Bradstreet, that these courts through the state of Utah were, in fact, corporations. And then I took it a step further, knowing that the justice courts of the state of Utah was on Dun & Bradstreet. I was interested to know whether or not this corporation had, in fact, registered with the Secretary of State of the state of Utah, and I found out that they were not registered as a corporation in the state of Utah, even though they were doing business, obviously, because they were registered with Dun & Bradstreet. All right. Now, that put something into my mind. And what it meant to me was even though they were a corporation, and since they were not registered with the Secretary of State, it became obvious to me that this corporation was not paying corporate tax. And several, thoughts that arose from that was that obviously then these courts are self-supporting and they are not taxpayer-supported courts, but they are private courts, much in the same tradition as law merchant courts. And so they're acting independently. They were incorporated, but they were not under the control of the government of the state of Utah. Now, that's a pretty serious thing. And then I got to looking into our federal court system, and even though it wasn't the same arrangement, it was very much the same. And I got to investigating how the federal courts were able to be self-supporting, and I found many, many ways in which these are simply a for-profit corporation. And again, they were making a lot of money and they were not paying taxes as a corporation. So, people in America, think they're going to go to court, for instance, and they're going to get justice or something like that. No. You're going into a private court. That's where you're going. You're going into a private court. And so knowing that going in, it would change the approach that you would make if you're in fact called into that court, if you decide to go into it at all. So people, just have to know that. Now, with the New Republic, that whole system of corporations and what the Pope has done, so forth, those things are going away rapidly. So there's hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything is a corporation. It seems like, I shouldn't say everything, but when you get down to it, all of these courts, it's amazing. Here's the thing. If you have a for-profit corporation, right there, they have, there's some bias right there. You can't get a fair trial at all because, their profit, depends on their ruling and things like that. So right away, there's no equal footing, or I'm trying to think of the words I'm looking for, but, it's a bias right off the bat.
Yeah, it is. I think I've pretty well summed that up. Maybe we ought to go on to different things before we get into, flogging the poor court system, because it's changing. It's getting better. From the information that's come to me, I believe that at this point, the New Republic has, in fact, replaced the entire United States Supreme Court. And I would suspect with this new budget, which we ought to talk about, that the justice system has been seriously pared down, and whoever's left are going to be subjects for re-education. So I would expect here soon that we'll see a great change in how things are handled on the state and federal levels as far as the court system. So perhaps we should go into, because I want to talk about the new budget and the implications that come from that. Would that be okay?
That's exactly where I wanted to go with the shift that's happening right now and the stuff that we've been working on together.
Yeah. Let me, okay. the fiscal year for our government ends on September the 30th and begins anew on October the 1st. So, with the old regime and the budget that had been prepared by the old Congress, who were mainly staffed by attorneys, in any event, that budget came to an end on September the 30th. For some time, I would suppose, the new republic has been creating a new budget. Now, this is a very, very significant thing. On this basis, that with the new republic, we have a new form of money. And in particular, the government employees, those who are left, and some who may be going soon, in any event, for their services as employees of the federal government, which is budgeted for, and the budget started on October the 1st, these employees will be paid in United States notes. The Federal Reserve note is dead. The United States notes, even though it's not floating on the street yet, the United States notes at this point are mandated because in the new budget, all payouts, all payments, all transactions by the federal government are to be done in United States notes. Now, let's talk a little bit about timelines. One of our favorite subjects. In any event, the new budget went into effect 1 October. Today is the 13th. Typically, in the past, and I suppose that they're going to continue this, federal employees are paid twice a month. They're paid in 2-week increments. Today being Thursday, Friday being the last day of the work week, somebody is going to be getting a paycheck. And when they go to cash it, it will have to be redeemed in United States notes, not in Federal Reserve notes. So this has put a lot of pressure. This has put a lot of pressure on the powers that be. And let me express it this way. Certainly, your listeners, James, and a lot of mine and so forth, are well aware of the change in the planetary financial matrix. It's been worked on now for quite a number of years. And we're coming right up to the deadline. And the biggest, I'll just say it, flat out, the biggest problem in the transition of the whole planet to go into the new financial matrix is the United States. And even those who have been involved in this new republic have been causing problems. Now, this is unconscionable. This is unconscionable. And perhaps the reason why that they have been blocking is because of this fact. The Pentagon in years past has been the unofficial police force on the planet. And I'll have to say, and history will bear me out, that they have done a very poor job. Now, the consensus on the planet is the Pentagon is fired as the police force on the planet, and that position has been taken over by Russia. Now, to gain leverage or whatever, or because they're crying over spilled milk or whatever, the Pentagon and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has been blocking because they were trying to get all the leverage, all the purchase they could by simply holding up, you know, and acting like spoiled brats, trying to get out of this deal more than they have coming. But it's gotten down to the point now with the new budget in place and the idea that they got to pay their employees, that at this point they can no longer block it. Now, if you want to start talking about insiders, yeah, I do have insiders. Yeah, I do talk to people at certain levels who are the ones who sign off on certain things that would cause these things to go into effect. And the information that I've been given is that my friend sent me a cryptic message. He said Monday is going to be D-Day. And so, I can only imagine he was very happy. He was very elated. He said, yeah, all these things have been taken care of now. Everything's in place. And as a matter of fact, you know, just to test things out from time to time, I go by the ATM machine. I have an account at Wells Fargo, so I'm always curious because Wells Fargo is the main player in this revamping of the financial situation here in the United States. Some of you read in the news about Stump finally, you know, he was kicked out over a month ago. It's just now getting into the news, folks. But in any event, so I go by the ATM machine at Wells Fargo. And the last time I went, I noticed they had a brand new ATM machine. I said, great. So I stuck my card in, and sure enough, Federal Reserve notes came out. And I was highly upset. But I'm just wondering what will happen when I go to the ATM machine on Monday. So between this weekend is going to be a significant weekend. And for those of you who are holding these foreign currencies that you have been hoping to redeem, it appears to me that this weekend that program will be kicked off. So hold on your hats. It's going to speed up here pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is. It's amazing how there's been so many false starts and people saying, you know, everything's done, it's ready to go, it's happening. And now, you know, and you know, with the information that we are aware of, we know it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't ready yet. So it's been kind of interesting watching, you know, all of these, you know, emails and things, people saying that they're in the know, that saying that, you know, it's going to fund tomorrow, your check's in the mail, your 800 number, you know, all that stuff. And I just kept going, not yet. It's not done yet, you know. But it does look like finally it is coming together.
Yeah. And I know the reason why. But, you know, I'll never publicly say that because, you know, I certainly do. You know, if I really come right out and said what happened, I mean, somebody would be rushing down to the hardware store and getting a length of rope.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is completely irrational. You know, what's going on? It has to do with the theft of personal money and personal vendettas. And like I say, the Pentagon trying to get leverage and all this kind of stuff. The United States has been the country that has blocked this whole process because the process, the concept of this changeover in the financial matrix is all or none. And so the United States officials, even the ones in the New Republic that we had, you know, hung our hat on, are in fact the ones who have caused the problems.
Often the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people, you know, it kind of goes off subject, but people would be shocked if they really knew. You know, people have that persona, you know, and they have their persona on the podium, and then what they're doing behind the scenes, people would just be shocked. And almost every institution, you know, even the UFO community and the spiritual community, the way some people behave, you know, off the stage, is just, it is shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, again, when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with personalities, you know, and, you know, for those of us who do not have, you know, the juice or the power or the control to do these things, we can only hope that for the very best results. Somebody comes up, you know, and things change and new faces appear and all these kind of things, you know, we say, aha, great. You know, we finally got rid of that old so-and-so and now we got somebody new in here. And so we pin our hopes on it only to find out that they don't act much better than the other guy.
So, yeah, exactly.
And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but it appears that they, you know, that they're being forced into this. No more mistakes, no more holdups, or somebody is going to get replaced in short order. And so, I can't see it not failing for the next few days. I can't imagine what would happen. Well, a lot of people don't know this. I mean, this. The banks are broke. If the United States wrote out a check for their employees and they took it to the bank to cash it, they couldn't cash it.
Yeah.
They'd be right. They'd be guilty of check kiting. So they got to liquefy. They got to get the money into the banks. And I'm not going to go through that whole process of how that's going to work. But in any event, it's come right down to the wire, and it, you know, and it will not fail. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, it has to go forward. You know, there's only one other option. We don't want to go there.
No.
You know, but I don't think anybody wants to go there. So it's definitely going to be moving through. I'm kind of curious, and maybe you can explain this, you know, considering what, talking about the Pope, where he, you know, did the work with the corporations and things and kind of disbanded the corporations. And then you have the United States Inc., you know, corporation and all of its programs and everything else. When they go out, or it's pretty much already gone, and the Republic steps up to the plate, how would that affect, maybe you can talk about the effects. We did talk a little bit about that, but it just seems like everything, the whole justice system, everybody that were deriving their power from the United States corporation or were agencies of that corporation seem to be not faring too well in the very near future.
Well, let me explain it historically real quick. First off, about 2,000 years ago or so, there was an entity that came onto the planet, you know, that we generally call Jesus, or just, I think maybe his name was Yeshua. At any event, he went around, he was in fact a master. He was one of the masters, one of the ascended masters. And he came on during the age of Pisces. He brought a message here. He started something during that age. And then later on, and those who listened to the message were just called the followers of the way. That's what they were called. And so they, as far as I can tell, you know, Jesus never organized a church. He did organize some hierarchy as far as administration of ordinances. But as far as forming a church, that came after he was gone. Now, later on, to consolidate his kingdom, Constantine, as the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, got all the various religions together in the empire and said, you guys got to sit down and we got to come up with something that we can all agree on, because all your infighting is dividing the kingdom. So that's what's called the Council of Nicaea. Mm-hmm. And so in any event, as a result of that, they created something which is known as the Christian Church. The Christian Church was not an invention by Jesus. It was an invention by Constantine. So they continued on. That was about, 340 or 350 AD or something like that. Anyway, that church continued on for a number of years until they decided that we need to take this message, whatever it is, worldwide. So at that point, they became a Catholic church. The word Catholic only means universal. So they had the missionary spirit about them. So they said, we need to spread this message of Christianity across the planet. And so they came up with the idea of a worldwide / Catholic church. So that's where the conversion from Christian church to Catholic church came into play. And then we had the erroneous fake, which is known, thing which is known as the donation of Constantine. Whereas that thing's been proven fake so many times, it's not even worth talking about. But in any event, in that donation of Constantine, the Pope claimed that Constantine had in fact bequeathed to the Pope of the Catholic Church / Christian Church basically unlimited power. In other words, the Pope can do no wrong. Pope's always right. Everybody else sit down and shut up. Now, that went on. That was about 850 AD that we had the donation of Constantine. And then about in the 11th century, the Catholic Church was invaded by a pagan cult, which is known as the Roman cult. And they took over the Catholic Church. They infused all this weird stuff that goes on. Oh, mercy. You know, I hope I'm not offending anybody by this, but this is just historical. Now, this Roman pagan cult, which consumed the Catholic Church, that's exactly what Francis is getting rid of.
Yeah.
Francis is trying to change the Roman Catholic Church back into the Catholic Church. And he's got a pretty hard job of it. You know, I certainly do not envy his job. But if you look closely, you know, in my estimation, I believe that Francis is trying to remove the cultism and the paganism out of the church and return the church back to a Catholic organization again, which only means a universal church that has a message for everybody on the planet. And that's what I see happening. That's why I'm interested to watch what he does.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's definitely... Now you've got the mob there, you know, the cabal and the power elite and those guys there doing, you know, all kinds of crazy rituals and things like that to all kinds of demonic programs. You know, you've got that thing going on, and then what I noticed too, there's a lot of sorcery ritual. There's negative. Get even bizarre. There's like alien demon hybrids and reptilian beings and serpent beings and all this other nonsense that these other groups are connecting with, you know, and trying to pull that energy in, you know, with their dark magic and dark rituals. And then I guess on the light side, what the people that are aligned with the true teachings of Christ, you know, of the ascended masters, it would be good to focus and gather together with intent, you know, to bring in the universal law, you know, bring in the universal peace and brother-sisterly love individual freedom and prosperity for everybody and focus on that and do ceremonies around that to bring in the higher light and get their consciousness and energy aligned with the higher dimensional beings that are coming in to help with this transition.
Yeah, life should be much simpler. Now, way back when the lawyers were trying to debate with Jesus about the law, and they asked him, they were trying to trap him. So basically asking, well, what's the greatest law? Because they were trying to find some way that they could accuse him. So they said, well, what's the greatest law? And he said, there's only two laws. In essence, what he said was to love God, the creator, and number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two things. Now, how do we measure any kind of law or procedure or process that we're doing? Does what we're doing comply with those two things? If it does, then it is something that we would want to do. If it does not, it would be something that we would want to avoid. Now, what is the highest court? And the answer is the highest court is the court of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Conscience. And Jesus himself said it. He said, the law has to be written on your heart. He didn't say brain. He said, the law has to be written upon your heart. And what is the heart? It is the center of love. And so when we start to measure or when we start to make judgments or decisions and so forth, folks, are you using your brain or are you using your heart? And if you're using your brain, hopefully your brain's hooked up to your heart. But too many instances, we find out that it's not.
That is the problem, basically. I like, to really simplify it, I like the Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. And if you apply that to the basically, our actions in everyday society, you'd find out that a lot of it isn't good for everyone. It's only good for a small, the 1%. And that's why we're in the mess we're in.
Special interest.
Yeah.
That's what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully with these new changes in a fair and honest monetary system, in banking, in finances, in government, and in just our everyday commerce with one another, hopefully with all the infusion of the good energy that's hitting the planet. I know, James, you've commented on this many times, this energy that's coming into the planet, which in essence is driving out the negative energies that people have stored up within what they call their karma, which doesn't really exist. But in any event, this new energy is coming in, is driving out the negative energies so that people can have perhaps a more clear vision of what life really should be and then act appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there is going to have to be a lot of education, re-education and just because people have become so programmed by, the lamestream media and society that, but I think we're getting a lot of help on that again. We're being taught on the inner levels, and the higher consciousness and energy coming in is doing a lot of work on that to help shift these times.
Let me just state my opinion, and that is I have complete confidence in humanity. Mm-hmm. I know that we will succeed. I know that we will ascend. Mm-hmm. That is something that will happen. So, folks, do the very best you can. You'll get extra help. Put aside all the negativity, and go into your heart. live in your heart and all the things that you do in your relationships with family, friends, government, business, or whatever. Make your decisions about how you're going to act based on what is in your heart, and then simply let your brain work out the details for you. That's what it's there for.
I agree. We're coming up to the end of the hour here, unfortunately, and I think that's a good one to end on is, you know, staying in the heart and getting through these changes and, you know, keep the faith, and it is going to turn out, you know, good, and everything's going to get back on track. But, you know, there's going to be some changes and a lot of letting go that we're going to have to do to usher in the new world. But I know you've got so many things coming up. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you for any of your upcoming events?
Well, just go to our website. If you just do a Google search for WSSIC.com, it'll pop up with our website. That stands for Winston Shroud Solutions in Commerce. As you mentioned, I will be at the Detroit event, you know, where you will be at, and certainly others. And then for seminars, we do have a seminar coming up, which is basically for people who are associated with, it's called a members event. The information could be found on the website. And then, like you mentioned at the first, you know, while I'm down there trying to get some ozone and treatments and whatnot, we'll have a little seminar for the people in that area down there. That's what we have coming up. All those things you can find on our website.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and giving us the update and giving people the heads up that things are turning in the right direction finally. And it's going to be an earth worth hanging around and watching it unfold.
Yeah. I'm very much encouraged.
Great. All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Yeah.
All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Stay in the heart, watch the skies, and keep the faith, because things are moving in the right direction.